Thanks for listening to this podcast from Exchange Church Belfast. We hope that you find this encouraging and uplifting. And if you like what you're listening to, then visit us online at exchangechurchbelfast.com for more information.
It's been an amazing journey for us. At some point, you will have joined, if you're sitting here this morning, you will have joined in on our journey at some point along, you know, along the timeline, if you like. You'll have been here, and then you will have joined in, and you might think, well, my goodness, these guys definitely have it all together. It looks pretty good. But what's actually been happening is over these first 2 years of Exchange Church, we've been establishing two things. The first thing is our identity. That is who we are as a church. We have formed a church. We formed a church family, and it ain't going nowhere. All right? For a longest time, I felt like the longest time. It's only been 2 years, but for a period of time, I would have felt like if you had a blown on us, we would have blown over. But I want to tell you, it's not going to happen anymore. God, as I've been saying to our wider leadership team, God has formed the beachhead here, and we have formed a church. And over these 2 years, we've been discovering who we are, what's unique about this family, and what we're called to. And that's establishing identity. This is really important. The other thing we've been establishing is our culture. A culture simply means this. How do you behave, and what do you believe? What's characteristic of this family that's different from every other church family? Because it's not that we're better. It's not that we stand out, although we kind of do a little bit. But the thing is, in a good way, and the thing is, it's that there's a uniqueness, there's a fingerprint, a DNA of this church, which I believe God wants to use to not just change your life, to change your family's life, but to change this city, this nation, and the nations with the message that God is good. That God is loving, that God is kind, that he is a God of grace. And this gospel is great news. All right? And so that's why last week was so incredible for me. I think that we're in a period of understanding that, you know, if you joined at the very start, if you joined halfway through, or if you're just thinking about getting involved at the minute, understand that we're on a journey. And if you come to be part of this family, you're going to be on the journey with us. We are not anywhere close to looking like what we are called to look like. I want to encourage, I'm encouraged by that. When I look around this morning, I go, thank God you haven't finished with this just yet. Because here's the point. One of my favorite verses in the whole world is Psalm 92:13. And it says this, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. God wants you to flourish. This church is not about the glory of man. It's not about the leaders. It's not about our great musicians. It's not about our great kids workers. It's about these two main things. It's about the glory of Jesus Christ being seen in this world. It's about the kingdom of heaven, not talked about in ethereal terms, up there playing a Christian game, but it's about people seeing that today Jesus is alive. He is well. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. And this kingdom of heaven that he came to establish is not just for the up there or when you die, it's for the here and now in you and through you. And the second thing that this church is about is quite simply that you would flourish. Honestly, we get up as a leadership team and we think about every day. Sorry, I've got a real itchy nose. That's going to look great on camera, isn't it? Can you edit this? Just joking. What was I saying? Yeah, it's about the glory of Jesus and then it's about helping you to flourish. Why? Because God has not intended for you to be a man or a woman who plays solo pilots. I have increasingly less time for an attitude that says me and Jesus is just fine. No, it's not. You have. If that is what you think this morning, I want to tell you that your vision of God, your vision of who you are, and your vision of his church is far too small. Far too small. I'm going to talk about that this morning because this is about seeing the glory of Jesus, the power of Jesus, and the power of the kingdom of heaven flow in you and through you, and you being planted with a group of people with a unique DNA, a unique calling, and a unique purpose at this time in this place to do something incredible for God so that you would flourish and become all that you are meant to be. Do you not realize this morning? Let me just remind you, if you need a bit of encouragement, 1 Peter 2:9 says this, that you are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. It doesn't matter whether you're 5 or you're 105 this morning. You are chosen by God. A royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are his own special people that you might proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into light. And Romans 8:16-17 says this, that the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Do you need encouragement this morning? Well, write those verses down and start and read them. You this morning are chosen by God Almighty. You are a royal, royal person this morning. You're a king or a queen. You're not just that. You're a joint heir with Christ. I am not making this up. I'm just reading the word and giving it to you this morning. Because many of us are struggling to go, oh God, oh, you know, what am I called to? And what, you know, I'm struggling. Listen, the word is full of incredible truth for us as a family and incredible truth for you. And we need to remind ourselves and keep ourselves mindful of who we are and what we are called to. Whenever he says here that you're a joint heir with Christ, let me explain it in case you're forgetting it. Whenever you're an heir, you don't work for anything. You inherit it because of who you are and whose you are. And this morning, everything that's due to Christ is due to you. Because of you, no, but because of Christ. All the peace, the joy, the love, the prosperity, the health, the goodness, oh, the goodness gracious, I'm going to get excited, is all due to you. Because you are a joint heir. Some of you go, oh, I don't really think, oh, I don't really know. That's your calling this morning. First and foremost, as children and heirs of the King of Kings. God wants you to live like that and not just talk like that. It's not theory. And if God is saying anything to us at the minute as this church family is this, that this kingdom of heaven, the power of the kingdom of heaven that you read about in the word, I want to show you what it's like to be men or women who live in it. Who live in it. Because that's what I've called you for. And that's why I am not ashamed of this gospel. Romans 1:16, I said so many times, but I am not ashamed of this. I want to tell you as leaders, we're not ashamed of this message. Why? Because it's the only message. See verses like 1 Peter 2, those verses, Romans 8, they're the only thing that are going to change you, that truth. The power of the Holy Spirit reminding you of who you are, what you were built for and who you were made to be is the only thing that will change you. Condemnation, law, guilt, and trying your best is not going to cut it. But if you get a grip this morning that you are called by God to inherit the kingdom of God and to live it and to flow it, then you will change from the inside out. Remind yourself this morning who you are and don't be ashamed of it because it's the power of God for salvation. It's the power of God to live. Any other message will leave you in guilt, condemnation, and knocking your head off the wall. Don't live that way. I really feel that God is saying to us, it's this purpose, Exodus 9, that I've raised you up. That I may show my power in you, and that my name, says God, might be declared in all of the earth. That's what you're called for this morning. So that God might show his power in you, and that his name may be declared to all of the earth. Is that not phenomenal? Phenomenal, phenomenal. Imagine, just imagine for one moment. Actually, do this with me. Close your eyes. Everyone. Okay, Bordeaux, get the wallets now. Go for it. I'm just joking. Could you keep them closed? I just want you to imagine for one moment. Being rooted and grounded in love. I want you to see yourself this morning dressed completely in white. I want you to see yourself this morning looking at the face of God, and it's bright. And he's revealing to you right now who you are and whose you are. He's saying to you right now, I want you to understand what I have made you to be and who I've made you to be. And as you look into the light of God this morning, he's saying that I just don't want to transform you. But this light is going right into the inside of you. Can you see it? And it's filling your whole body. But then it's starting to flow out of you to your family, your friends, your work, your schools, your colleagues, your neighbors. And he's saying to you this morning, receive my love for you today. Take a moment and receive. Open your heart and receive. And he's phoning this just in case you definitely don't get it. Okay, you're back in the room. Open your eyes. I love that. That's a joke for the cameras, okay? You're back in the room. So what is God saying to you right now? I want to share this morning what I believe God has put in my heart for us over this next period. I know it's Christmas, and we should be talking about, you know, tinsel and all that kind of stuff, and shepherds and mangers, and we're going to do that. But I really feel that this is a word from God for us at this moment. Let's turn in your Bibles, please, to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to start reading in verse 1 through 6. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun. Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan and all this people to the land that I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will not leave you. I won't forsake you. Be strong and be of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land that which I swore to their fathers to give them." Let me just give you the background here. Moses had been the representative of between these people and God for many, many years. He had been used incredibly by God, and he had seen amazing things. Moses was the man that God spoke to, and he led a whole nation out of slavery. He led a whole nation out of bondage. And now they find themselves in the position where they're wandering around and have been for 4 decades, 40 years of being lost. And whenever we cut into this bit of the book of Joshua at the very start, they're on the east side of the River Jordan, and they've camped there, and they're looking at the promised land, which God had spoken to them about 40 years before, and he had said, "This is the land that I am giving you." He had already promised that it would be theirs, and they're now on the other side of the river looking at it. Now, for those of you who don't know, Canaan in the Bible, that's what the promised land was called. It was a physical land called Canaan. And what Canaan talks about is a place of blessing, it's a place of prosperity, it's a place of safety, it's a place of fruitfulness, it's a place of fullness. It's a place where you can settle to live, and your generations that will come after you will also be settled there. Key point. Canaan was their inheritance. God had said to them, "You're not going to earn this. I have given you the land, but you go and you possess it." They were receiving from God part of their inheritance. And God was saying to them, "This is what I have for you." The physical land would be a physical place of safety, but it would also talk about being a place where they would experience the fullness and the blessing of God. And what God had said is, "You're not going to work for it. You're not going to earn for it. You're going to go and possess it." That's what Canaan talks about. Now, here's the incredible thing that's been on my heart. Whenever God spoke to the people of Israel, and whenever he spoke to them at that time, he said, "Go and possess the land," he was not just talking to the people who he was looking at on that day. Do you understand that whenever God speaks to you, whenever God speaks into your life, he's not just talking about you? Part of the sickness of this age is that we have reduced this gospel, and we've reduced this power of God. We've reduced this truth that we can all be part of the royal priesthood of all believers, called for a purpose. And the difficulty is sometimes today, whenever God speaks into our life, we simply reduce that to, "What does that mean for me?" And we start to miss the point, because whenever God here, was speaking to the children of Israel, he was saying that the inheritance that I am giving you is something that's going to go past your generation, and you're going to leave for those who come after you. And some of us need to have our minds expanded a little bit. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, he says this, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations, to those who love him and keep his commands." God was telling them, go walk into your inheritance, go and possess it, go and live in the goodness of it. And it's not just that you'll be blessed, but the people who come after you will walk in the goodness of you possessing your inheritance. Do you understand what purpose you are called for? You see, many of this, we haven't quite got it. It's about our children, and it's about our children's children, and it's about their children. Whenever God speaks to you today, if you simply reduce it in your head to, "What does this mean for me?" you're missing the whole meta-narrative, the whole wide sweep of what God wants to do in you. Don't do that. I have this burning in my heart for Exchange Church. The implications for God speaking to us at this time are way bigger than just us. God is saying something incredible. He's saying, "I've brought you to this point. You're no longer in Egypt. You're no longer in captivity. You're no longer in condemnation, law, and guilt, and nonsense. I have brought you out of that. It is not your inheritance. Your inheritance is a land, a spiritual land, a way of life and a way of living where you see fullness and prosperity and goodness and health. And it's not just for you. If you will go and possess it, your children are going to live in the goodness of it. And what's more, their children are going to live in the goodness of it." Do you understand? You might be out of Egypt today and go, "Flip me, that's fine." But don't leave your kids and their kids there. Because when God is speaking to us as a family today and he's saying, I have put something incredible in you. You've been made incredible by Christ and all the rest of it and all those verses that we've talked about. But it's not just for you. What are you going to leave? What are you going to leave for your kids? Are you just going to eat it all yourself and go, well, I'm fine. And if whether I inherit or not has no real bearing on anything, wrong. Whenever God speaks to you, he says, inherit it, take it, because the goodness will flow from you for 1,000 generations. I don't know what you're, if you have kids or not, I don't know what you want for them, but I want my children, I want the absolute ceiling of my experience with God to be the floor for Ben and for Hope and for Eve and for whoever else comes after them. Do you understand that? Man, this is really burning in my heart today. What are our kids going to walk in because you knew today that you could go and possess your inheritance from Christ? What are they going to walk in? Do not sit here and think that it is of no consequence. It's of huge consequence. Do you realize why God has placed you here today in this group of people with this message and with this heart? Because he wants you to be a man or a woman who, as you possess, you leave an incredible legacy and inheritance for those who are going to come after us. And do you know what? If you think, well, I don't really care, then you need to get before God because your vision's way too small. Your vision's way too small. And God is saying this morning, you know, if honestly, don't be waiting on me. God says, I'm waiting on you to get a grasp of this and go for it. Do you know that the word that we talk about the power of God in Greek is dunamis? And it means, you know, whenever you talk about the power of the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of heaven coming into your life, the Greek word is dunamis. Now, it's the same word that we get our word dynamo from. You know, many of you, you know, dynamos, you put them on a bike wheel. And as the wheel would turn, it generates light. Everyone know what a dynamo is? We used to have them in cars, and now alternators. But the same principle applies. Now, here's the point. In a dynamo and the dunamis power of God, what is it that produces the power? It's movement. Where there's no movement, there's no power production. You can have a dynamo on the wheel of your bike all day long. If you don't turn the wheel, you're not going to see the light. And that's the principle in the Greek. Isn't that amazing? I read that a couple of weeks ago and was like, sweet mercy, God, that makes so much sense to me. God is saying this morning, you're out of Egypt. I've given you a land to go and possess, and you will see the power, the dunamis power of God as you get moving and you go and possess it. Don't sit on your backsides and go, God, come and do it. God's saying the power of God is activated, energized by my love and by your movement, by you possessing what I have given you. Is your vision way too small this morning? There's no doubt that we have created an incredible place where you can flourish. It's about all being about being planted in the right soil. Ephesians 3:17b says, let your roots go down deep into the soil of God's love. And we have had an incredible diet here of the goodness and the power of God. I see that. And I think it's absolutely critical. Do you know why? Hosea 4:6 says this, that my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Or in the message it says, my people are ruined because they don't know what's right or true. But I want you to understand something. As God is speaking to you today and about being part of this family, about your, it's not just about you. Do you realize whenever we say as a church, we're called to be people who bring the kingdom of heaven to this world? That's not just about you. I think that part of us, we get so mixed up in just our own stuff and what we think and what we like and what we don't like. And he said this and he offended me that and blah, 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 blah. And I think God's saying, get over yourself and get a huge view of what I've called you for. Because I have called you to inherit. And if you will inherit, 1,000 generations will come after you and inherit. Oh man, that gets me so excited. It saves me from myself. And I don't want to be destroyed because I've got a lack of knowledge. And over 2 years, we have been trying our best to establish and create the place where you can flourish. But let me tell you this. As you get a revelation, and as revelation comes into your heart about who you are and whose you are, it doesn't come just to make you smarter or to make you into some sort of theological smart ass. Sorry, I just said it. I was going to say the Belfast word, but I won't. But it doesn't. Do you know when God reveals his love to you, what it's meant to be for? It's meant to be something that launches you into a lifestyle of divine, supernatural encounters with God. Why? Because the nature of God, his goodness, his love, his mercy, his faithfulness, his healing, It's understood and it's demonstrated through human experience. I need to back up a little bit because I can see some confused faces. Revelation, when God puts something in your heart, is not just for you. It's not just for you. Whenever God shows you how much he loves you, whenever he shows you how incredible he is towards you and his promises, that is not meant to make you go, oh, brilliant, praise the Lord. That's meant to make you go, boom, into a lifestyle of supernatural encounters where what has been revealed to you is demonstrated through your experience. Do you understand that? That's what God is putting in my heart. That's what Jesus said in John 17, verse 3. He says that his prayer would be that you would know him, not know, ginosko, experience him. So as God reveals love to you, as God reveals grace to you, as God reveals mercy to you today, as God continues to bring you down this path, I want you to understand that revelation of this incredible message, don't let it sit and think it's just for you. It's to launch you into a lifestyle of supernatural encounter, where what we talk about becomes what you live. So whenever we talk about Jesus the healer, we start to see it demonstrated in us and through us. Whenever we talk about God the provider, you start to see it in you and in your situation and flowing from you. Do you understand? The revelation of who God is a launch pad to a lifestyle of the supernatural. It's so important. Revelation that doesn't lead to divine encounter will only work to make you more religious and more arrogant. Why is that? Well, 1 Corinthians 8, chapter 1 is very clear. It says the nature of knowledge in itself is just that it puffs up. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies, builds up. It's interesting for me that the people in Jesus' day who knew the most about God, who knew the most about religion, who knew the most about the religious system, were the people that whenever Jesus was right in front of them, he didn't even recognize them. They didn't even recognize him. Isn't that incredible? All the knowledge in the world, all the revelation in your head won't matter for that. Honest to goodness. But once we start to say, God, you're revealing this in my heart because you want me, my level of life, to go from just head to starting to see it and experience. Oh, goodness me. What a difference. Does that make sense? Revelation that leads to an encounter with God will bring about breakthrough in your life, and it will lead to personal transformation from the inside out. Now, here's the key point this morning. The revelation and the transformation that goes on in your life today is part of the inheritance that you will leave for those tomorrow. Part of your breakthrough today is your inheritance for tomorrow. What do I mean by that? Well, that's what God has been speaking to me about, and I get so excited. Whenever I think about inheritance, I think about money, cars, houses, a couple of wee trust funds for the kids, and, you know, da-da-da-da-da. Anybody with me? You think inheritance, is that what you think of? God spoke to me very clearly this week and said, Andrew, you're missing the point. I'm their father, and I look after them. Now, let's talk about true riches. And I was like, oh, Jesus. He says, what are you leaving? True riches. I was like, God, but I've got this for Ben and hope he's getting married and I'll put a few pounds away for university and all. And he said, that's fine. I'm looking after them. Hello. And I say, yeah, but God, he says, what are you going to leave in true riches? You see, my children are going to walk in the inheritance of my breakthrough today. Because when I break through and I start to live in a supernatural lifestyle, I start to see the goodness and the power of God demonstrated in me. What are my kids going to walk up through? And then what are their kids going to walk up through? As my ceiling is their floor, what's Ben's son's going to be like? What's Hope's daughter's going to be like? And do you know the thing? Isn't that incredible? And God's speaking to you today and he's saying, if you haven't got a view that your inheritance, what you're leaving, is way more than a couple of quid, then your vision's way too small. I've brought you out of slavery into freedom, into a promised land where you can experience the fullness of God. And it's not for you. You're going to leave this for those who come after you. Isn't that phenomenal? Your revelation, your breakthrough is part of your inheritance that you will leave behind you. the fruit of your revelation when it becomes personal transformation, when you change from the inside out, and supernatural demonstrations of the goodness and the nature of God will be your legacy to your children, to your grandchildren, to your mums, to your dads, to your brothers, to your sisters. I want my son to go, not that my dad left him a house, but I want my boy to go, my dad was a hero for the kingdom of God. Because there's thousands of people today who should have been dead with cancer, but they're living in fullness and in freedom because my dad saw his breakthrough and he went for it. Do you get me? I want to be that hero for my boy. I'm thinking, God, where I have been far too small with this, and you show me what I'm called to. Because I don't want anything less. I really don't want anything less. I want to be someone who saw the nature of God, and I lived out the nature of God in my life. That's your inheritance. That's your children's inheritance, your nephews, nieces, whoever. But some of us have not seen it. That as we talk about the breakthrough and you getting personal transformation of the love of God in your life, it's because it's going to stand through generations to come. Generations to come. Now, here's a couple of points. Oh, I could keep going, but I'm going to move on. Here's a couple of things that God spoke to me this week very clearly about this. And offer it just as, hopefully it'll be helpful. In verse 2, how do you move in? What's part of the keys to taking this in and delivering it? Well, whenever Joshua is standing and God's speaking to him, God says an incredible thing at the very start. In verse 2, he says, Joshua, Moses is dead. Now, Moses was an incredible man of God. God had used him in miraculous ways. It was clear that the anointing of God was on his life. Through him, people were led out of slavery. He parted the Red Sea. God passed in front of him, burning bush. It was through Moses that God gave the Ten Commandments and the whole law. This was a guy who had seen God as much as you could in those days. He was God's man. And Joshua has to be reminded of something incredible. He's dead. He is tatty bread, as we would say here, right? And in fact, God is saying the same thing to you today. Why was God reminding Joshua at this time that Moses was dead? For a very simple point. In effect, he's saying the same thing to you today. He's saying that the past, even the good stuff of the past, is done, and it's time to turn the page, and it's a time to move. Joshua had to be reminded that of the death of Moses, because in Joshua's mind, Joshua was Moses' assistant. That's really hard to say, but Moses' assistant. And so he helped Moses a lot. And what happened was that he would have witnessed a whole lot of what Moses was involved with and seeing. And here's the point. God is saying this morning that the greatest obstacle to experiencing the abundance of life today and tomorrow is that if you refuse to let go of yesterday. Now, that's very easy with bad things, isn't it? When something's really bad, it's easy to say it's dead and it's gone. But actually, what God was speaking to me about is Moses was not a bad man. What happens when things are really good, but we still want to live there? You see, what God has called me to, and he's called this church to, and what he's called you to, is not people who live with one foot in the past, one foot in the grave, and hope to grasp into something of the kingdom this way. He's saying, get your foot out of the past, look full square into my future, and get moving. Because as you start to move, the dunamis power of the Spirit of God will come with the movement. But if you've got one leg there, you're not going to move that way at all. The past is dead, folks. Many people hark back to days when the summers were longer, you know, the days where, you know, the chips were 10p a bag and all this kind of stuff, and petrol was 49p and all this kind of, I can remember that, sweet mercy. And we seem to want to recreate those days, don't we? We want to say when something's bad, it's easy, oh God, take it away. But the problem is, are you living today in something that was good and trying to recreate it? You see, it's particularly with the supernatural. Whenever we understand that there's a supernatural move of God and there's a supernatural way to live as a spirit-filled Christian today, and that's what God's speaking to us as a family about, what we do is we want to try and recreate what we've seen before. And we go, it was brilliant. I felt the tingle, you know, the way you tingle in the back of your neck, and I might have even fell over and got prayed for, and that's fantastic. And God's saying it's dead. Stop trying to live there and recreate it. As good as it was, God was saying, you saw me move in power. You saw the Red Sea parted. Joshua, you saw all this stuff. You've got all the stories. You've lived through them. But now it's time to move into the new thing that I have for you. So for goodness sake, let it go. For goodness sake, let it go. It's essential that we do that. Don't try to recreate the glory days. Don't try to live there in your minds and think, well, we'll see him. That's fine, but only if he knew what it was like back then. Let me tell you, I don't give a monkey's what it was like back then. Truthfully, because I am so captured at the minute with what God is leading us to, that yesterday was fantastic. I say thank you, God, for it. Thank you for the blessing and the help and the encouragement that it was. But God is a God of increase, and there's more, and the best is yet to come. And I'm going to inherit it. That's why it's important to remember. It's essential to remember the goodness of God and all that he's done in your life. That's why in the Old Testament they built memorial stones. Because the point was this. The point was not that we would live there and go, oh, remember the good old days? And it was fantastic and God did this. The memorial stone was built so that when the people saw it, they would go, if he did it then, he can do even more in the future. It wasn't to hold them in the goodness of God in that time. It was to remind them of the goodness and the nature of God. And if he was able to do it then, how much more will he do it for them in the future? The goodness of God in your life is to springboard and to catapult you into an expectancy of more. No? Oh, Lord. Do you not believe me? But let me give you a verse just to back it up. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7 says this, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. God is a God of increase. God is a God of fruitfulness and multiplication in your life and through you. Do not live even in the goodness of the past. Put it in your heart. Remember the goodness of God. Remember what he has done in you. But for goodness sake, just get a view and a vision that if he did it then, that this kingdom is always increasing. It's always about seeing more love, more power, more grace. And say, thank you, God, that you did it then, but I want so much more moving forward. Thank you. God's plan is always for more increase, that each generation would see more and experience more than those who had just gone before. But that will only happen whenever you make your move today and you take possession of the inheritance that God has for you. What part of the past are you hanging on to, good or bad? Ask yourself, how does yesterday hold me back today? It's past history, church experience, leaders, people, maybe you tried and failed. Whatever. I have done all of those, and I wrote those down because I've got the t-shirt. But what God said to me is, Andrew, you're here in this time, this place, with you lot, this group of people, and I've got a God-given purpose for this church family. So for goodness sake, don't let your yesterday rob you of the tomorrow that I have for you. Why? Because I'm a God of increase and multiplication. And if you will inherit this, your kids and their kids are going to live and see more of the fullness on the increase that we're talking about. My last point is this. It's time to stake your claim. He says in verse 3, God makes an incredible promise. He says, Joshua, I will give you every place where you set your feet. Every place where the sole of your feet touches, I'm going to give it to you. You think, good for you, Joshua. What does that actually mean for me today? Well, God has invested his power in you. It's the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And he's given you authority this morning. Now, with that, he wants you to have ownership in every area of your life. To use a Christian word, he wants you to have dominion. Romans 8:37 says that. He says that in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I want to tell you this morning that God, for you, I don't care where your heart's at. Open your heart now and let the Holy Spirit show you this. God has made you to succeed. He has made you to thrive. And he has made you to be somebody who reigns in life. Whether you feel it or seeing it or whatever is irrelevant to me. That is the truth of God. And that is your inheritance. Romans 5:17 says, much more those who receive this abundance of grace, this gift of righteousness, much more will they reign through the one Jesus Christ. We know that verse. And so I've been searching through the Bible for more on that theme. And there's a great wee verse in Ecclesiastes 3. It says this. I read it this week. I know nothing better for them. This is God's people. To rejoice and to do good in their lives. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, because that is the gift of God. Isn't that lovely? Eat, drink means to be satisfied, means to be provided for, and then when you go to work, to be absolutely enjoying it. That's God's gift for you. Isn't that lovely? But here's the point. Many of us aren't living like that. That's what God says quite clearly. He wants you to reign in life. There's something from the Old Testament in case you go, oh, he's just one of those happy, clappy people who just doesn't talk about the Old Testament. Well, there you go. It's the gift of God for you to be full, to be satisfied, to have an abundance, and to enjoy yourself. What that means is no defeat at home. There's a couple of points I was just starting to really, God speaking to me in my gut actually this week. What does that mean? Well, it means this. I really feel that God has sent to some people in this room this morning that your family life was never designed to be filled with stress, tension, and resentment. He wants husbands and wives to enjoy each other, and he wants kids and parents to laugh together. No defeat at home. No defeat at home. The gift of God for you this morning is a place to rejoice. In your finances, you don't need to be rich, folks, to live in abundance. You don't need to be rich to live in abundance. Of course you need money. But before that, you need contentment and peace that comes through the Holy Spirit. In your spiritual life, if you still struggle with some sin, if you're struggling with burnout, if you've got heart issues, unforgiveness, and offense, emotional difficulties, God wants to give you dominion there so that you will see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness. But you know what? It's time to stake your claim. You stake your claim. Wherever you put your foot, not physically, but it talks about ownership in every area of your life. God is saying this to you this morning. Stake your claim, because wherever you put that, in a spiritual sense, God says, I'm giving you ownership in that area. Do you understand that? For too long, what we have done is we have abdicated ownership and given it away to people who have hurt us. We've given ownership away to our church leaders who have hurt us. We've given ownership away to our unforgiveness and our offense. We've given ownership away to everyone and everything. And God says, no, inherit this goodness. And for goodness sake, stake the claim on it. So now what that means is we need a view and a mindset that says, I am coming as a man or a woman blessed by God under the power of the Holy Spirit. And in this area of my life where darkness has had its run, where the kingdom of darkness has tried to rob and steal from me, today what I'm doing is I'm staking my claim as a man or a woman of God, and you cannot touch me. Because I want to see the goodness and the faithfulness of God in me and through me, for me, for my kids, and for their kids. I'm making my claim today. Get moving. Stop sitting on your backsides and going, oh God, please. God's saying get moving, and as you get moving, the dunamis, the power of God is going to be in you and through you. Isn't that a great word? It's time to stake that claim in home, in church, in ministry, in your neighborhoods, in your schools, your social life, in your health, in your extended family. In verse 5, he says, if you will stake your claim, then no one, God said to Joshua, will be able to stand against you. Now, that didn't mean that Joshua didn't have battles to face. But what he was doing was saying this, that you'll face your battles, but understand that as a man under the promise of God, with the power of God, you will overcome in your battle. Many of us fold like a cheap suitcase in the battle because we just don't understand it. We go, God, these people are coming against me. And God's saying, you haven't even staked your claim of who you are and what I've called you to be in this area. Start with that. Put your feet down on the work of Christ and say, you know what? If you come against me, I may have to battle to see the goodness of God come through, but that's what's going to happen. The calling of what we see, the calling of what we are called to be and what we will see in our life, as we hit our ceiling, is the floor for the next generation. Think about that. I have been so inspired by that thought this week. Be aware that today, what you do with this message that God, through his Holy Spirit, is trying to put into your heart is not just for you. And if it has been for you, stop today and say, God, give me a bigger vision of my life. I'm part of the royal line. I'm a joint heir with Christ. And what I do today, as I see my breakthrough, will be the inheritance that you will leave for yours and for the people around you. But as this family, this exchange family, our legacy and what we leave as an inheritance to the nations will be a demonstration of the kingdom of heaven in people everywhere we go. The kingdom of peace, love, joy, health, wholeness, healing, prosperity.
What an incredible thing to leave. What an incredible thing to walk in first and foremost. But what an incredible thing. When I've looked at Ben this week, I thought, God, when I'm not around, and with this I'm finished, when I'm pushing up the daisies in Roselawn or wherever they put me, can I just say, you know, I was going to say barbecue me. Don't do that. What do you call it? Cremate me and, I don't know, just scatter me over the seawall at Bangor. No, not over the carpet. That would just stress me out. Yeah. See, wouldn't that be funny? Ha, 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 ha. I'd come back and haunt you. Not that we believe in that, but I would. Lord, just send me down for a day. Whoa. Get that carpet cleaned. What was I saying? What I was saying was this. As I've looked at Ben this week, I've been looking at him with different eyes and saying, son, what am I going to leave you? What's your experience of this kingdom going to be like? Because I today inherited what God had for me. Man, it gives me a totally different view. Think of the people that you love dearly. Think about your grandchildren, if you have them, or those of us who look at our kids and think about our grandkids. And think, what are they going to be? What's their life going to be like? I want my line to be healthy, whole, prosperous, blessed, joyful, loving. And God says, you know what? So do I. Go get it, son. It's a time to move. Let me leave you with this one verse. Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Just take a moment today to go, God, what is my inheritance that I'm leaving? And let God start to expand your heart and your mind to what he is wanting to do in you at this time. And for goodness sake, go get it.